The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. Second hour is live. And we will talk to Hugh Freeze, the head coach at Liberty, coming up here in a few minutes, fresh off a win over Syracuse. A couple more big games for him as the season unfolds, including this weekend against his alma mater, Southern Miss. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. We have already talked about the situation with the Florida COVID Florida COVID crisis. Ron is up next in Michigan. Hey, Ron.
Is this Paul?
Yes, it is. Good afternoon.
I've just got one question. If the president and the governor of Florida took COVID a little more seriously, do you think that Florida might be playing football this weekend?
I mean, that's a difficult thing to answer, but clearly, you know, it's not hard to get inside the head of Dan Mullen. He was pretty self-explanatory after the A&M loss when he said the governor has said we can fill the stadium and we really need to. I mean, what else do you need to know when somebody makes a statement like that? And also, a program that clearly did not see a warning sign when, the program, but some of the players didn't take it seriously when they were complaining of sniffles or allergies. I mean, that would be a dead giveaway to most people attuned to COVID concerns.
I don't know. I was just.
What do you think? Do you think? What is your thought? Do you think the governor had anything to do with the fact that nearly half the team's in quarantine?
Well, his attitude, I mean, there was a big rally the other day and he's high-fiving people and rubbing his face. And I don't believe your governor in Florida takes it serious. I don't think the people in Florida.
Well, but Ron, let me ask you a question. I realize government officials, presidents, senators, I mean, they can affect people. But with a crisis like this, isn't it ultimately up to you or me or Dan Mullen and his program to determine whether you're going to take something seriously or not? I mean, if the governor of my state
really
says I can,
I that they would.
I barely know the name of the governor of where I live. And, you know, I mean, he controls whether I can go to a gym or whether I can go to dinner or to a movie, but he's not going to control. He has very little, he has no effect on whether I take this virus seriously or not.
Well, it was just something I was thinking about. I thought it was kind of ironic that you've got a coach that wants to fill up the swamp and then within a couple of days, he can't play football anymore.
I would say Dan Mullen has had a pretty brutal 10 days. Almost everything he has said or done has gone against, has come back to bite him.
Well, I really don't have anything else. It was just something that was kind of popping in my head watching your show.
Thank you for the call. And by the way, I'm not.
It's a shame that these kids can't play football, but.
Well, they'll be back. And ultimately, yeah, I don't want to act naive here. Charles is up next. Hey, Charles. I did not hear Charles. Let me try Garrett, who is in Virginia. Hey, Garrett. Good afternoon.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I'm doing good. I have a question for you regarding the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Okay.
Do you think that A&M is going to be the biggest challenge going in the midway season this week? Well, actually next week on Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, I think A&M is possibly the best team remaining on the Arkansas schedule. other than Alabama?
Right. I think that it's going to be all defensive on Arkansas. Offense might be able to catch up with Felipe Prince, but
Gary, let me ask you. Hold on, let me ask you a question. You're an Arkansas fan, right?
Yes, I am. My dad is too.
Okay. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but I mean, I would just be so thrilled right now that I mean, this program has finally turned a corner.
Oh, it's very exciting to see how much Sam Pittman has really turned this program around. Defensive-wise, was Barry Odom. Great hire, by the way. I was kind of skeptical about it from Missouri, but he's really given us a chance to show that we have the defense and strength to compete.
No, it's amazing. Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. David is calling next in Tennessee. Hey, David, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, David. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I called a couple of days ago, waited about a couple hours. I was surprised to get through this quick. I ran out of time. That's a point to make about Tennessee and their quarterback situation and the defense.
Yes.
Well, one thing, I maybe repeat myself from Monday, but I don't know how much got on air, but when your goal is to have a quarterback that's not just going to turn over the ball, you'll have to have a great defense. So your goal should be to have a quarterback that makes the plays when it's needed. And the interceptions and the turnovers and stuff that he's had in the last couple of games and stuff like that there, and saying that he's the best we got, I don't believe that. Now, I believe he might be the only one that was ready. I don't think he put enough time in their backups to teach them anything and get in the groove of the game. They should have been working with them all along. I know the COVID's been a problem and stuff. And another point I want to make on the defense is that if you're going three and out all the time, you know, by the second half, I don't care how good a defense you got, they're spending that much time on the field, you know, you're wearing them out.
Well, David, you're right. That will do every team in, no matter what. And, you know, your offense has to support the defense. That's why old school coaches do not like the RPO. Even when you score too fast.
Right. Right, right. And, I mean, it's some work to be done, but obviously, you know, get 3.5 years of Jared Tonnell, and he's not, to me.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody really thought he was going to be the answer this year.
And you got the younger guys. I mean, he's a sixth-string guy. You put him in, he makes the play. Then the next play, they had a penalty, and he's on a 21-yard be able to make a first down. He throws interception, immediately pull him out. But give the guy a chance. Their four-string quarterback looked pretty good. He moved the ball down the field, stuff like that. But I think you're going to have to take your lumps and work with somebody else and get them there. Well,
at that point in the game, David, Tennessee was not coming back. It was over. And I don't know. I mean, I'm really not sure. We're going to talk to John Adams in about an hour. Can't wait to hear what his view of all that is. But you have to make calculated decisions on, and you, at some point you just have to move on. And when you know what, I don't mean to be cruel to Garantano, but you know, what's he ever really? I mean, he did a okay job last year, but you know the competition is now different than it was during that winning streak. Hey, thank you for the call. Hate to run, but we are heading to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Hugh Freeze, the head coach at Liberty, and talk about the success up there. Big win over Syracuse, his influence on the RPO, getting a lot of credit for changing the SEC. We talk to him next.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back on a busy Wednesday afternoon, and we are really looking forward to our next guest. He's been here a few times. He is Hugh Freeze, the head coach at Liberty, coming off of a monumental and historic win over Syracuse from the ACC. Coach, great to have you back, and congratulations. I know that was pretty special for your program.
Well, Paul, thanks first for having me. You've always like I told you earlier, you've beat me up when I deserved it, and you've said good things when you could. But yeah, man, what a win for our kids, our program, our administration. Obviously, Syracuse is not having the greatest of years for them for their standard, but Dino does a great job there. But they're still an ACC program, and certainly their roster is full of really good athletes. So. You know, I think in year two of for us to go on the road and win a game like that is, you know, I can't speak for how excited and really how big that is for our program.
Yeah, I can't imagine because, I mean, these are moments that, you know, 30, 40, 50 years from now, somebody comes into the football operation and they see that football from that moment, and it resonates. And I'm curious because you don't get a break. Now you have Southern Miss, which is interesting. They're an interesting program for a lot of reasons, mostly because you're an alum of the school, and there's already been a lot of chatter, which I know you don't like. But what's it like dealing with your a school that I know is very important to you?
Yeah, it's. You know, when they come see that football, it will be a memory for a lifetime for our kids. I still have the goalpost up from the Alabama victory, the first one. You know, and that'll never. You know, I'll always have that, and so do so many more people. But unfortunately, you don't get to celebrate victories very long in this profession. And we've got to get on to a very difficult opponent in Southern Miss. I still have these. I break out in sweats at night thinking about the Brett Favre years and. The ones that I was very familiar with, and when their motto was anyone, anytime, any place, and they meant it. And I watch them on tape, and it makes me really nervous because, you know, athletically, if you were to clock their guys in the 40-yard dash and vertical jump and short shuttle and cone drill and nail drill, we probably would lose the game. And so we've got our hands full with them, and obviously it's dear to Jill and I both. That's where we met. It's where her family is near, and we still have a lot of friends there that we went to school with and that are still there in Hattiesburg. And so it will always be a dear place to Jill and I. But this Saturday, it's go Flames. It's time to hopefully beat my alma mater.
No doubt. Coach, there's been so much said lately, I know you've been aware of it because you've been interviewed for some of these stories, about how what you did many years ago really helped change the SEC. And I don't think there's any escaping it. When you beat Nick Saban 2 years in a row, something is going to give. And he was already in the process of altering his thought process. But I would like to get you to expound on that for a lot of reasons. Not only did you beat him, I know you're close friends with him. I know he tried to hire you. So, I would say you're a pretty good expert on how you affected him.
Well, you know, Nick's been a really good friend to me, as have many other guys in the SEC. And I think they, you know, all hopefully know me for who I really am and respect me in a lot of ways. And obviously we're disappointed with me in some ways, too. And I get all of that. But Nick's, you know, his compliments the other day, I actually called him and said, man, you know, that was very kind of you to say. And I do think, you know, there were people in the league when we first got there at Ole Miss that ran some tempo, but I don't know of anyone. I'm not saying I'm an expert to say who was doing what, but we were one of the first, I think, to combine the tempo with the RPO world and try to allow people that I perceived to have better rosters, not make as many subs and call exactly what they want to call against every personnel grouping. And I think, you know, we were able to do all of our stuff out of different personnel groupings with tempo. And I think that's, you know, what probably, you know, Nick and those guys are speaking about is, you know, when you're look like you're handing the ball off and you're throwing a back shoulder to, you know, a Laquon Treadwell or a slant to him or a curl to him. It's that was fairly new at that time in this league, I believe. I think it's probably going on in some other leagues, but I think it was fairly one of the first to the SEC.
And Coach, I know this is old, you know, we're unearthing old territory, but you know, you just didn't come up with this when you got to Ole Miss. I think the audience might be curious about the evolution of your offensive philosophy. Where did it begin?
Man, people ask me that all the time, and I truthfully just, I don't talk ball with hardly anybody. I never really have. But when I was a high school coach, I used to tag all of my run game with screens. But, you know, in high school, you can't have your lineman blocking too far down the field and throw it down the field. So I really have to give credit to the staff that I was on with Ed Orgeron at Ole Miss in those 3 years. I was receiver coach two of those years. And, you know, their philosophy, and I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or indifferent, but at the time, the philosophy was, man, we're going to run power, and we don't care what they get in. You know, we're going to block it. We're going to run counter, and we don't care what they get in. We're going to block them, and you have to use receivers to do that, obviously, if the extra guy is in the box from a safety position or elsewhere. And in my mind, I'm constantly thinking, man, my receivers don't want to block that guy. and I don't know that they can consistently block the guy. But why don't we block him by just running a route off of him? And that's really where I was more convinced than ever that what I was kind of doing in the high school world of throwing the ball off of run plays. And now in the college game, you know, your allowance to let the offensive lineman to go 3 yards down the field. And if you have six guys to block the box and they enter a seventh guy, then, you know, the challenging thing is getting your quarterback to understand when to throw it, when not to throw it. And but that's the way I was so convinced after those years of sitting in those film rooms that, man, there's a different way that works for my mentality that I can combine tempo with and throw the football off of extra guys that are in the box when we need to. So that's kind of the evolution of it. I would say, you know, Noel Mazzoni was doing a little bit of that talked a little bit with he and Kevin Sumlin. But really, you know, Gus and I go way back, and Gus is more tempo driven. Not so much RPO driven, at least he wasn't. I hadn't watched him much here recently, but But, you know, I was really big into the RPO game. I'm sorry.
I am curious. Not much has changed at Auburn, unfortunately, I think. But, Coach, before you go, I would like you to talk about this. And I hate to ask you all these SEC questions because I realize you're coaching a team and you're not really able to keep up with it. But the league does look different, and that's why your name just keeps getting into almost every conversation. Did you ever think it would look like this, where, you know, we're seeing 62 to 48 games and nobody is really all that surprised anymore?
I'm shocked. I mean, we scored a lot of points a couple of those years, and you know, we were really good defensively our first 3 years, and then we were not so good on defense, and we continue to score a lot of points. I do manage the game quite differently now. I honestly think we would have had a chance to beat Nick in them three straight years. We were up 24-3, and I didn't manage the game very well. I think I've learned some lessons from that. But when I get home from these games and I see some of the scores, I think to myself, man, that's not the same defense that I coached against. I don't think many of those years, or either those offenses, have just gotten so much better. But it is hard to stop offenses today that are doing everything and making you defend the whole field on every play. But I am somewhat shocked at some of the scores, like you say.
I know we mentioned Syracuse and Southern Miss. I took a quick peek at your schedule the other day. You're not done yet. I mean, you've got some pretty challenging games ahead. I'm assuming you're in charge of the schedule, or is that somebody else?
And no, I assure you it's not me. I work for an outstanding AD and Ian McCall. And I think, you know, I don't even know if people really realize, you know, we were, last year was our first full year in FBS. And so we still have a roster that's kind of half FCS recruited and half FBS recruited. We really only have had one class. So it's kind of amazing to me, our success in such a short time. But they had to make some schedules in that transition year, or the first few years in the transition. They had to take whoever they could get. And he and I have had that conversation. I assure you that we need to have realistic expectations when playing these 3 and 4 Power Five schools a year. That gets very, very challenging.
But you got Southern Miss and Virginia Tech all coming up. NC State on the road, Coastal. That's a lot to deal with. But Coach, the good news is, this moment in time, you're undefeated, and your program, at least the fans, are still celebrating a great win. I can't thank you enough. This has been a fabulous conversation, and I know you have a lot of fans out there watching and listening, and I do wish you all the best, and I hope you'll come back soon.
Well, Paul, anytime. We appreciate it, and I do. I'm so blessed with many, many good friends that have just been loyal and in our corner for Jill and I and our girls, and we found a great home here in Lynchburg. They've been so good to us, and we're very blessed.
Congratulations again, and all the best. Thank you, Coach. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Coach Hugh Freeze, head coach of the undefeated Liberty team, just coming off of a win over Syracuse, taking on Southern Miss this weekend. And we'll take a break. We'll get your reaction to that. More guests to come as we roll on here on a Wednesday.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships.
your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We welcome you back, and great to have everyone here. Iman is up next in Montgomery. Hello, Iman.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Great bumper music. 43 years ago, Leonard Skinner plane crash.
You're right. Remember it well.
You know, I find it interesting your last, since Monday. Charles is calling back. Isn't that great?
That is great.
He come back. He's going country boy ass whipping. He's going to fix everything at Auburn.
He's one of the old callers that you really do like to hear from again.
Oh yeah, and then he called in begging and pleading what's the deal with that? Anyway, you got Hugh Freeze on, and you took him down the Nick Saban complimentary road, and you got to Gus, and then you interjected. You hardly ever interject with coaches like that, but you interjected your disgust with Auburn and that kind of thing. And you know that Auburn lost players. You know they've got injured players. So you know that they're struggling, just like LSU, but you got to interject, and I appreciate that. Because I tell you what, Paul.
I just had to let him know what was happening there in case he was too busy to check.
That's right. Just in case he was too busy to check, you made sure. Because I tell you what, you pull the trigger. You are the what have you done for me lately quickest trigger pulling seller I've ever met. And when you mean what have you done for me lately, you mean right now.
Yeah.
And I tell you, Paul, that was a great interview. Great interview. But I tell you what, now that you got Charles back and he's all crying and he's country boy ass whipping and crying, why don't you just shoot some whipped cream on his head and stick a chair and call him Shaky Puddin'. Or Dan Meagle, have a good day.
Daniel is up next. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Paul. How are you today, sir?
I am well. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
And it's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you. I've been listening to you for a number of years.
Thank you.
Really have never called in, but I wanted to call in because I think in the first hour you had somebody on that was objecting somewhat to, or at least questioning why you were having Hugh on, and I understand that somewhat. But as a Christian myself, I am sure thankful that God provides salvation through Christ and forgiveness of all sins, and I appreciate the fact that you. Questioned the desire and the need to give second chances and certainly forgive. But in any case, Paul, I've always admired your interview skills to a great degree. That's a large reason why I listen. And kind of connected to this whole thing is my question is, years ago when you were down here in Alabama, I believe, if I remember correctly, you would have from time to time periodically have chaplains on from several of the SEC teams, maybe Auburn in particular. I could have it wrong, and I just don't believe I've heard you do that in a long time. In times like this, it would be great to hear from some of these men and what they're hearing from their from the players and the teams they support and that kind of thing. And I wonder if you've given any.
Yeah, Daniel, what a great memory. You're right about that. Chet Williams, the longtime Auburn chaplain, was a frequent guest. We also had, as I would go around Birmingham and the state, I would run into various ministers, and ultimately we would have some of them on during moments of need. And, we did that a little bit early on in March and April, but you're right. I mean, but I think the chaplains are a good idea because they help players deal with things that are football related, but obviously far more important. But it's a great suggestion.
Yeah, I'd sure love to see it come back again. I think they have a great and unique perspective And I'd love to hear what they're seeing and hearing from the players and how they're counseling them. That's probably something that.
No, I will tell you, Daniel, I learned a lot from those encounters. And, I learned a lot about myself as well as the audience. And it had a profound effect on me as I matriculated down the road.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, thanks again for the interviews. I'm one of those that believes, and I don't know him personally, but from things I've read, people I know that have that do know him personally, I think Hugh Freeze will be back in the SEC one day, and I hope that's the case, but we shall see.
Thank you very much. Great. Yeah, a friend of mine just reminded me, we had Chet on many, many times, Jeremiah Castile, who at one time was the Alabama chaplain, former All-American and All-Pro, and that was a really I think we all I don't try to push anything on anyone, especially religion, but I think it's one of those situations where sometimes you can listen to somebody who has played football or been involved in football and now counsels football players, and it does bring a lot to all of our lives. Let me check back with Will, who is in Missouri. Hey, Will, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Will, I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right, Paul, I got a question for you. I'm going to challenge you on this one, and I'm going to ask you, in 5 years from now, out of all the, the new hires in the SEC, who do you think potentially is going to leave the program in the best spot? Because, we're talking about this Auburn job and, this trouble down in Baton Rouge. Do you think maybe – if Lane Kiffin has some success, maybe they start calling for him. And I just want your opinion on that.
Yeah, well, I think of let's kind of talk about them collectively. Sam Pittman to me looks like somebody who is never going to leave Arkansas. He just looks like in a couple of weeks he's found a home. Drinkwitz, I think he has star written all over him. So the question is, will he stay at Missouri once the program begins to ascend? I think, and then there's Kiffin, obviously, and Leach. I am growing pessimistic on Leach's future. I don't know how anybody could have had a better first weekend and a worse next four. But Kiffin probably would be the one coach that would, he's got the most experience in terms of head coaching positions, and I think in terms of offensive mind, he's already shown what he's capable of.
I absolutely agree. The question was mainly focused around there's tiers to the SEC, and I think Arkansas might have been the only team that got a coach that isn't really trying to move up the pedestal.
And you see that in jobs, Will. I don't know, whatever you do, and I see it where I am, where there's a guy who's doing a job or a lady, whatever it is, and you go, why is that person still there? And it's because that person wants to be there and is not interested. And to me, that is Sam Pittman. He's as comfortable as anyone I've ever seen at a job, and he's only been in a job for four games.
I absolutely agree with you. Thank you, Paul, and go Hogs.
Thank you very much, Will. Great to have you on. We are going to pause here for just a moment. Really interesting conversation with Hugh Freeze. A lot of reaction to that. We'll go to Knoxville in about 30 minutes and talk to John Adams. He's been a columnist there for probably about 35 years, and we'll ask him about Jeremy Pruitt's week as we turn the corner toward Alabama. Tennessee does, Greg McElroy later on as well. We'll also go back to Gainesville. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We are back on a Wednesday, and Tex is calling next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Paul, this is Tex, and I used to say from New Mexico.
Oh, sure.
But altitude sickness paid a visit to our house, and we are now living along the Pacific Ocean in Westport, Washington.
Wow, that sounds nice.
It's a beautiful day here today. Say, I love the topic of second chances. I am a very stubborn sinner and have received many second chances. I think you and I have had a couple of spiritual discussions or something close to that, and that's a near and dear heart to my heart. And for a sports example, I'll throw out New Mexico State basketball coach. The last two, including the current one, are men who got second chances. And Nick Jans might be a really good example of someone who probably has taken some calls from bigger programs and said, no, these are the guys who gave me a chance, and I'm really enjoying our success here, and I'm really enjoying coming within a bucket of going to the second round of the tournament last year. So, or the last year we had a tournament, put it that way.
Yeah, you're right, Jax.
I mean, I appreciate everything you said about second.
I'm glad
chances.
Because, I mean, there's some people, everyone is not trying to climb the walls of and be something that we think they should be. But I'm really glad you mentioned that.
Well, it's a great program, as usual. And all the way from this side of the world, I appreciate the chance to listen.
Well, thank you very much, Tech. You be well out there, and call again very soon. Thank you.
Very good, sir. Take care.
Good to hear from you. Jay is up next in New Jersey. That's a pretty good hike from Washington State to the other side of the world. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man? Listen, you know, first of all, I agree with that last gentleman. I think you handled what that gentleman was saying very admirably. I think that, and very honestly, you know, like it's, you know, I'm not a heavy duty philosophical guy, and I'm not, you know, I believe in Christianity, and, you know, but I'm not, you know, into it. But, you know, as human beings, how can you not give someone another chance when they have failed miserably? They failed themselves as well. And I think it was very nice the way you handled it. The reason I called was, I was watching the Alabama game this past weekend, and I watched them every weekend, and, you know, I love the SEC. You know, I'm from Jersey. And is it my imagination? Would you agree that compared to other previous Alabama teams, in the last 7-8 years, it doesn't look like they really have an effective pass rush. Like, you know, like 3-4 years ago, I mean, Bama had some monsters up front, you know, and I think it took the pressure off, you know, the guys, you know, behind them. And it doesn't, it seems like all the pressure is on the backers and the D-backs and the safeties, because I don't think, you know, that they really have like a fearsome pass rush this year.
They don't have a Quentin Williams or other players that they've had. It's a little bit different. I don't know why that is, because, they really have a great offensive line. They've got individuals on that team that are clearly going to be first-round picks, but collectively, you're right.
Well, I was thinking about it, and I appreciate your insight. You know, they have great backers this year, and the D-back Moore, the true freshman. You know, he makes mistakes freshman mistakes and stuff, but he's got a lot of talent. And I think he's going to be an All-American football player. I think he's going to see him playing on Sundays. It just seems like the pass rush is void. I mean, would you agree that they don't have?
Yeah, no. Now that I think about it, and it's obvious because the Ole Miss game was a really big indicator. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Charles. What can we do for you, Charles? Are you unhappy about something?
Yes, I am. You know I've been on hold. You seen my number up there. You skipped me and went to all these dull, boring callers all over the world.
What do you need?
I'm getting about as fed up with you as I'm fed up with Auburn. You ain't worth a flip, and Auburn ain't either. They ain't gonna get no coach.
Well, Charles, Charles, we have a waiting. They're gonna lead them to the promised land
of nowhere. The program's going downhill, and you going downhill too.
Charles, we have a waiting room, and we take them as they check in. I mean, we just can't. Unless it's an urgent call, which that didn't seem to be. I never could. Sounded like the previous couple of calls. We are going to head to the break. John Adams coming up here in a few minutes. We've already talked to Hugh Freeze. We'll talk about the Florida COVID issues a little bit later as well.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.